This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Simeon, Waiting for the Savior.
Individuals in the Bible, regardless of how brief the reference, can hold life lessons for the believer. And God deals that way. Take, by way of example, a man named Jabez. Now, there was a tremendous book written about Jabez. There's only two verses that speak to this person. And it's the account of the man with no genealogy and who is never mentioned again. Can you imagine? This is it. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez. And the word means sorrow. Because I bear him with sorrow, she wrote. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, this is what he prayed, O thou God, which bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. In verse 10, he makes four simple requests. Please, Lord, bless me. Have you ever asked the Lord to bless me? Bless you? People don't like to pray for themselves, and I'll never understand that. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pour yourself out before the Lord. Tell him the pains of your heart, the joys of your heart, your shortcomings, and certainly ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. So, Lord, please bless me. And then he asked the Lord to prosper his efforts. In other words, Lord, whatever I do, I pray that it's in your will, it's part of your plan for my life, and that when I do it in your name, please bless those efforts. A lot of things that we do as believers these days, for example, our street preaching ministry, we'll be out there preaching our hearts out, and very little will come back. People will blow their horns. People will wave. People will say very nice things. Some people will roll down their window. But we have to apply a lot of effort sometime for very little return. But it doesn't matter as long as we're doing what God would have us to do. He'll bring the return in his time and in his plan. But he prays that God prospers his efforts. And thirdly, he asks God to keep him in the palm of his hand. And basically what it says is, God, never let me go. We just sang Emmanuel. How can God let us go if he's living in the life of the believer, in the heart of the believer? He's in here. He's not on a revolving door. When the Holy Spirit came in, the door shut behind him. He's here to stay. He'll never let you go. And fourth, he prays that God keeps him from sin's evil influence. Just the influence. Who influences you? What influences you? What gets you triggered to start the process of thinking and fantasizing about evil? In verse 10, which is the punchline as far as I'm concerned, and God grants his request. He's an ordinary guy. He's average. He's just like the rest of us. He has no connections. He's not a priest. He's not wealthy. He's not powerful. He's like you. He's like your friends. He's like your family. But see, Jacob had one thing going for him when he prayed. He believed God. He believed God would answer his prayer. He believed that God hears prayer, and he believed that God answers prayer. Do you? Because when you pray, you must pray believing. Like someone once gave as an illustration, if you pray for rain, make sure you bring your umbrella. So pray believing that God hears and God's going to answer. Jabez asked of God, believing. Listen, we have the God-given right to ask and expect the Lord to answer our prayer according to his will. You have the right to go before the Lord because he has granted you the right as king of your life and Lord of your life to come before him with his prayer. With your prayers. Listen to Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But what happens is found in the next verse in James chapter 4, verse 2. Look at what it says. You have not. Why? Because you what? You have not because you ask not. If you're not praying for yourself, if you're not praying for your family around you, don't expect things to happen if you're not. One of the things that goes as we grow colder to the Lord is our prayer life. If you're not praying, then you know that there are warning lights that should be going off in your head, that your relationship is not right with the Lord if you're not a praying believer. Because nothing happens without prayer. I can't get up here and stand before you each and every Sunday morning like this without being bathed in prayer and having your prayers to support me and my dear wife's prayers. Our lesson this morning is also a short account in Scripture. So this wasn't the lesson, this was just kind of the warm-up. There are 10 verses, and they yield a lot, and they remind us of a man who has been waiting for the Savior all his life. And that man is the man Simeon. So let's stand together as I shared with you Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. Luke 2, 25 through 35. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the earth. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed. Thank you. You may be seated. So who was Simeon? His name means has heard. God has heard. His name means God has heard. He was a man who spent years praying and waiting for a day to come when the Messiah would arrive on earth. Actually, those were prayers being given up for centuries on the part of Jewish people, waiting for the return, waiting for God to come into the world. Are you praying and waiting for the Lord? You know, we believe that Jesus is coming again. Amen. We believe we're living in the last days, amen? And the word comes and tells us this. Watch and pray. Keep looking for Jesus. Keep talking about Jesus. Keep praying for Jesus' soon return. Never forget, God has heard your prayer. He'll answer the prayer. Keep praying until the conclusion. Don't stop praying until you get a definite answer is how God's answering your prayer. Maybe you waver like Jabez did from time to time, but he never gave up believing. This is the way it is with us from time to time in our prayer life. We pray and we say, oh, nothing happened. Well, you have to keep on praying until something does happen. Verse 25, Simeon, it says, was just and devout. He was just toward people. That means he was fair. He was honorable in his dealings. His actions were consistent with things that are morally right. Can that be said about you? Is that your testimony? I want my testimony. I want your testimony and the testimony of this church to be such that people will see that we try to do what's right. That should be our testimony. And he was devout toward the Lord. In other words, Simeon realized something. You can't be just without being devout, and you can't be devout without being just. You can't do what's right before God, and you're skipping along. You can't do what's right by God without being loyal to him. Simeon's discovered the key to a balanced life, and that is heart to God, hand to man. As a youth, Jesus demonstrated that balance. Luke 2, 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He had a great testimony to the people in his neighborhood. They saw this young man and they thought this was a very, very good, honest, and truthful young man. Can that be said about my family, your family, our families, about us? If you're a just and devout Christian, you may have a tremendous impact on the lives of people who come into your sphere of influence. What influence do you have on the people in your life? Very little? A lot? Do they know you're Christians? Some Christians' life can actually change the course of history. Let me read this story to you. It's told of a monk from southern France who went to Rome to take in the splendors of the Roman city. When he arrived, he was caught up in the crowd going to the Colosseum. He wasn't aware of all that was involved in the entertainment of the day, but he soon realized what was going to happen when the gladiators took their places on the field. They drew their weapons and waved them at Caesar and called out, "We who are about to die salute you." The young man realized that gladiators were about to fight each other to the death, and he called out amidst the roaring crowd, "Stop, stop, in the name of Jesus, stop." His voice couldn't be heard over the roar of the crowd. He rushed down the aisle to the barrier that separated the cheering crowd from the strutting gladiators, and again he yelled out, "In the name of Jesus, stop." Nobody even noticed him. He jumped over the barrier and ran out into the middle of the Colosseum floor. He stood between two gladiators and yelled at each of those two, "Stop, in the name of Jesus." What do you think the gladiators did? They ignored his words. Instead, each took his sword and ran it through the body of the pleading monk. As the man of God dropped to the ground, dead silence fell over the crowd. What do you think happened next? Then, in the stunned stillness, one man in one of the back rows left his seat, came down the aisle of the Colosseum, and left the Colosseum. Another followed, then another, and another, still another. As the Colosseum emptied, Caesar himself stood and left. From that day on, there would be no more gladiator fights in the Roman Colosseum. An end to the brutality and the death all took place because one man was willing to pay the price and give his own life. I doubt that God's ever going to ask you to give your own life up, but he may be asking you to show and tell people in your life about Jesus and to be unashamed. You may lose some friends in the process, but you may gain someone for Christ. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to reach people for Christ? Verse 25, Simeon was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Those at that time who anticipated the coming of the Messiah, they knew the Bible. They knew the scripture. They knew that that was a promise. They knew the time was near. We have the account in Matthew chapter 2 of the Magi, the wise men who were astronomers, men of science. They were studying what? They were studying the scripture and they were studying the heavens. They looked up. They were looking for a sign of Jesus' birth. Their studies and their faith led them to Jerusalem, where, Matthew 2:3 says, "We have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." 2,000 years ago, these watchers and seekers and students of Scripture hoped that the Messiah would come. They wanted the Messiah to come. They prayed that he would come quickly to them. They were patient, and they were impatient. The Bible-believing Christian in 2021, that's you and me, find ourselves waiting for a trumpet to sound, to call us out from the earth to be with Christ, the rapture. And we're patient and we're impatient. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but very few people are willing to die to get there. Is that you? Is that me? Jesus said in Matthew 24:42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." In verse 26, the Holy Spirit reveals, "Simeon, you will see the Messiah before you die." Imagine that. He wills to see Christ. He desires to worship Christ. His heart is in the right place, and his spirit leads to where Jesus can be found. Acts 2:21, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If people in your family want to receive Christ, Where should they go? They need to go to you because you're the source of how they can come to know about Jesus. Simeon saw Jesus before he died. We know the truth that if people receive Christ, if they ask Christ to come into their heart, Christ will receive them into heaven. If we reject Christ here on earth, he just won't let us into heaven because we really don't want to be there in the first place. Think about that. I can't imagine people not interested in wanting to be in heaven and how to get there. But there are people who would rather shake their fist in God's face than hear the simple truth of the gospel that you and I need to tell them. As the gospel records, the child was God in the flesh, Colossians 1:15. He's the image of the invisible God. Verses 32 to 35, Simeon proceeds to make a startling and accurate prediction, and this is it, that Christ would bring light and blessing to the world. What has been the impact of Jesus Christ on the world? Has it been for bad or has it been for good? I just want to share three things that I think are significant keys in what Jesus has brought to the earth. Number one, he has brought a respect for children. 2,000 years ago in ancient Rome, Greece, it was dangerous to conceive a baby. Abortion was rampant and abundant children molestation was in place. Children were treated with disrespect. They were treated almost as a nothing. Then Jesus was born, and the womb became a sacred place from that time. And because of Jesus' care for the sick and the poor, Christians have cherished life as a sacred thing since then. Who are we as Christians? We are not against something. We're for something. We're for the life of the unborn. We're for the life of children with disabilities. We're for the quality of life for people in any sphere of American society. We care. And as a result of that caring, we've done many things. Open hospitals, have centers for people who are addicted. We've opened so many institutions and help situations to bring people back from the precipice. In ancient Rome, Christians saved many abandoned babies. And what did they do? They brought them up in the faith of Christ. You see, the devil meant for their harm, but God meant for their good. And so even though they were like they were, have been in China for years, little baby girls put it out on a stone that a wolf will come along and devour them. These children have been saved. Christianity helped to preserve the family as the basic unit of society. Secondly, science. Jesus had an impact on that. Physicist J. Robert Oppenheimer, the head of the Manhattan Project, wrote these words, "Modern science was born out of a Christian worldview." Did you know that? You wouldn't get that in school, but there's one of the top astrophysicists saying that. Alfred North Whitehead, mathematician and philosopher, he wrote, "Christianity gave birth to modern science because of the insistence of the rationality of God, that God is a rational being." And education, the greatest universities were started by Christians for Christian purposes. Most of the first 123 colleges and universities in the United States have Christian origins. Listen to what's been engraved on a stone by the entrance of Harvard. Quote, "After God had carried us safe to New England and we built our houses, provided necessities for our livelihood, reared convenient places for God's worship, and settled the civil government, one of the next things we longed for and looked after was to advance learning and perpetuate it to the posterity, dreading to leave an illiterate ministry to the churches when our present ministers shall be dead in the dust." They established Harvard, they established Yale, they established Princeton to raise up pastors. We don't get that in the universities. We're not told that. Had Jesus never come to earth, humanity would yet remain in darkness of sin and ignorance. As Simeon predicted, he became the light of the world. But Simeon was the first to realize, as he beheld Jesus in verse 30, that he was seeing God's salvation. From the cradle to the cross, this is the greatest good, salvation full and free to all who will place their faith in the crucified, risen, and coming again Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to save sinners. That was his mission. That was his primary reason for coming here. He couldn't have sent the Archangel Michael. He couldn't have sent Gabriel. He couldn't have sent any substitute to do what it is that he did. And he has no substitute on earth to spread that gospel but you and you and you and me. And all of us together collectively as a body of believers here at Amwell. What's your mission? Your mission is to give glory to God and live your life in such a way that when people see you, they see Jesus through you. My goal for you this morning is to ask you to keep watching for the return of Jesus, to keep praying about the things in your life that you've been praying for but feel like you haven't heard God answer your prayers. Keep praying. Keep praying for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Keep praying for the salvation of the souls of your family and friends. Keep believing. Don't doubt. Keep believing all the things that are promised in this book because they are true. And keep listening for the sound of a trumpet because home is just on the horizon. And I believe, and I think you believe, that we're living in the last days and Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Father God, we pray your blessing upon our time this morning, that we may realize that we too have the blessed privilege of seeing Jesus. He lives within our hearts. He is Emmanuel. And we pray this morning, Father, that you would help us to live out that reality in our community, in our family, among our friends and co-workers. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.